Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. And we do give everyone a warm welcome. In the name of the Lord, praise God. And I want to thank your brother Gary for praying for the different ones tonight. Albert McKinstry was rushed into hospital and he needs a triple heart bypass and they won't even let him out. But it'll be up to 3 weeks, I think, before they can do it. But he's not too good. And when we had the meetings in Refreeland, he came to them meetings, but he never made any decision at them meetings. But he did come to them meetings, and you know, the sad reality is some people leave it too long. And they don't get right with God, and they keep putting it off and putting it off. And I'm not saying he's left it too long, I don't know. But I just trust that God will really speak to them and save them, deliver them. Amen. Let us turn to Revelations tonight, and also remember Brother Keith in prayer again tonight, and then Sunday morning we're going to have the dedication with Jamie Lane Kirstie to the little ones. So remember the service for Sunday morning prayer as well, and all the meetings, praise God. Let's read, this is a very well known portion of Scripture, Revelations 12, verse 10 and verse 11 of Revelations chapter 12. Two things that God gives us to overcome the devil by. Praise God. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they kept the faith right to the end. Let us bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious words of promise. Lord, even this book of Revelations is pronounced within it a blessing to them that read it. And we ask for that blessing to come upon us tonight as we've read a portion of your word. That the Holy Spirit will move in this service. The Holy Spirit will bless each and every one tonight. Touch all of our hearts and our lives afresh. And we say amen till all the prayers has been prayed tonight. That thou indeed will have thy way. Lord, I just ask that you'll bind every work of the devil in our homes. In our lives. Over our loved ones. We place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. We plead the merits of that blood over this house tonight and over every person in this room tonight. Yeah. Lord, for Brother Keith, we plead the power of the blood. We ask from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, you'll touch him and completely heal him. Take away the pain, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray for Joey again, that you'll touch your brother Joey. Bring him to health and strength. And Lord, that he'll get out of that place. And that all will be well. In Jesus' precious name. And for others praying in their hearts tonight. Meet that need, Lord. Answer that prayer in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We know today that the devil here in the Scriptures is the beast, the dragon, whatever you want to call him, but it's the devil. And he's our enemy. Praise God. The scripture says here they overcame him, the dragon, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they kept the testimony to the end. And people say it's by the testimony, and that's right, but we must keep the testimony. Now that testimony doesn't mean that you work at someone. That means that the faith you have in Jesus Christ remains. It remains. It does never changes. It's the Lord really that's keeping us, isn't it? Amen. It's him that's keeping us. But if we committed to him, he's promised, he's faithful and just to present us faultless and blameless before the Father's throne. He will keep us to the end. And we must keep on the testimony and the power of the blood of the Lamb. I want you to notice The name of these two animals here, the devil has two names, the devil and Satan and the dragon and the serpent, and we know it's all the same fella, the devil. He's many different guises, he's many different disguises. And I tell you, when someone happens to you as a Christian, whether it's from somebody out there or somebody close, it's the devil. It's the devil that uses people, it's the devil that gets a hold of people. But that person's not your enemy really, it's the devil behind it at the end of the day. Amen. It's the enemy, our enemy is the devil. Amen. We're in a warfare because Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness. Mm-hmm. We're in high places. Now they're in high places, we need to go higher. Like our brother John preached about the levels, the top level 7 was it? Level 5. So if they're high, we need to get high. And doesn't the Bible say, as us as Christians, that we mount up with wings as an eagle? And Brother Branham said the eagle goes higher than any other bird. He says if a buzzard or anything tried to fly for the eagle flies, it would fall apart. It wouldn't fit to fly for the eagle flies. He's specially built. Not only is he spiky built, if you listen to the message Bob preached, and he studied the eagle probably more than anybody, and Bob preached about the eagle, and he said the eagle can fly straight into the sun because the eagle has special built-in sunglasses. That's just his words or mine. But his special lens is over his eyes, and the sun doesn't blind him. He can fly into the sun. But an ordinary bird cannot fly into the sun. An eagle specially made. And you and me specially made. For we're fashioned after God. Do you realize that? We're born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. The Spirit of God's working on us continually. Do you know that? The Bible says he's changing us from glory to glory like unto his own glorious body. The Lord's working on every one of us all the time. That we should be more like Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Not more like somebody else. More like Jesus. And that's who we want to be like, more like Jesus. All opposition to God's true church is satanic. It's satanic. And I know people and they put things up. None of my friends talk to me, so more or less they'll talk to the devil. They don't realize that's the spirit of necromancy. And when people start to contact the dead, which you're forbidden to do, according to this Bible, and William Branham, God's prophet, said, you can contact the dead, but don't do it. He said, don't ever do it, because they're not far from you. Mm. Even the saved people, yes, says they're not far from you, but don't you do it. It's forbidden in the Bible. It's called the spirit of necromancy. And you know the man in the Bible that went down and he called up the prophet. And he was dressed the same way. Wasn't it Saul? Called up the prophet Samuel, is that right?
Yes.
And he got the witch to do it. Because he'd so backslidden, he that's the way he went about it. And he ended up there where she was the next day. Isn't that what he's saying? But you see, God doesn't want us to do that. But all opposition against the church of God is the devil. It's not so much a person's against you. You can have an idea that somebody's against you and all that. It's actually the devil. It's the devil. And the devil anoints people with his anointing, just like the Holy Spirit anoints his children. And there's two types of people, we know that. There's two opposing spirits in the world today. There's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil. Amen. Amen. And the Bible goes further. People talk about people, the world receiving the Holy Spirit. You know that's contrary to the Bible. How many knows that?
Amen.
The Bible actually says they cannot receive the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The scripture says that in John, the Epistle of John. They cannot receive the Spirit. They might receive some type of anointing, but they cannot receive. You remember, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're born again. How many knows that?
Yes.
So it's a nonsense to say, well, the world has received the Holy Spirit. They might receive some sort of an anointing, but they don't receive the Holy Spirit like a believer receives it. I don't believe that. Amen. Because the Bible says they cannot receive it. Timothy tells us that. But they can receive an influence, all them different things. But they do receive the spirit of the devil. And you know there's the children of obedience and there's the children of disobedience. And it all comes about from the God of this evil age. And then there's the real God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want His influence. We want the influence of the real Holy Spirit, the genuine Holy Ghost, and the genuine Word of God. They overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. These are the two things God's given us today. The blood of the Lamb and the testimony. And that testimony is just not, I could see it. That testimony is believing the Word of God. It's a testimony when you believe the Word of God. You're saved because you believe the Word of God. It's part of your testimony. You receive the Holy Spirit when you obey the Word of God, part of your testimony. Water baptism, you obey the Word of God, part of your testimony. And what's the Bible say? He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. And the Lord wants us to use His Word to overcome. Amen. All opposition to God's true church is satanic. The terror of the dragon, the subtlety of the serpent. And there's a war on. The true saints of God, real believers, have to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. Here's what it says. And I'm not going to keep this too long tonight. But just for a bit. I believe midweek service is real important. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that. There'll be a thing on the town tonight. The drunkards will get a top up tonight. They can't wait till the weekend. And I believe as Christians we need a top up. If there's more, like a brother said, a drink of the living water, a fresh drink. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're in a battle and we're to fight. You have to keep on fighting. And it's called the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Praise God. Now we know we're saved. But we still are in a fight. We're in a warfare. We have to battle. This is one of the most hardest ages. You know that. There's ages that went before and people were martyred and all. But this is an age. It's a spiritual warfare in the mind. So many people are fighting it difficult today. Spiritual warfare in the mind. It's a warfare. There's a heavenly warfare going on. There's a warfare in the mind. That's why we need our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And the Bible says we're to have our minds renewed. We need to be washed with the Word continually, the Word of God. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He's our guidepost. Should be the center of our attention. Not over here, over there, but our focus on Jesus Christ. Brother so-and-so might do something they shouldn't do, but that's not our focus. Our focus is on the Lord. And just pray for them. And just keep on the things of God, because we're in a warfare. And we have to fight the good fight. 2 Timothy 4, 7 says, I have fought a good fight. So Paul's saying, fight the good fight. And then he's saying here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So your testimony is to keep the faith. Amen. Not just when you get saved, but to keep the faith. You keep it every day, every week, every month, and He keeps you. Keep the faith. We're saved. We want to be still saved next month. Now we are. But you know what I mean? We need to keep the faith. We don't want to go back to the worldly, beggarly elements of the world, the things of the world, and backslide. We want to press on with God. And fight the good fight. And go on with things of God. And press into the things of God. And look for God to move in our midst and God to move amongst us. Now we know in the beginning the serpent beguiled Eve. And that brought death, not life. That's what brought death. Beguiled Eve. Let me read you this from Christ as a mystery of God revealed. When Eve went away from the Word, she went away from her mate. And when the church goes away from the Word to a denomination, she rejects and commits fornication with the world of man's wisdom, rejecting the authority of God's Word. That sounds clear. The Bible said, committing spiritual fornications, any word in the Bible that's rejected, or if any self-interpretation is put to it, it's absolutely rejecting and committing adultery against God. That is your husband. An adulteress never enters the kingdom of heaven. We know that. See, that's what Eve done at the first place. She committed adultery. And it can mean, look, I don't care if they say whatever name they are, if they're injecting their thoughts into this Word, it's wrong. It must be just the Word. Amen. I tell you, Brother Brian Freeborn sent a tremendous wee thing about Martin Luther. Let me just read you it. If I can find it, let me read you this. I have it here, if it opens it. All right, here it is. Luther's concerns about what men would do with his message when history's repeated herself. I see that at times, as time goes on, more and more sects and enormous opinions arise that frenzy and fury of the devil knows no end. Lest during my life or after my death, some future heretics assume the sanction of my name and falsely quote my writings. In support of their errors, as atheists have begun to do, I am in dead earnest, for by the grace of God I in large part already know the devil. If he is able to confound and confuse the word and scripture of God, what may he do with my words or those of another man? And I tell you, he's definitely done it. He took Luther's words and he's tried to pervert them, and he's definitely took the words of William Branham. Do you know, not only has he took the words and sermons of William Branham, but there's people that have spliced William Branham's sermons. Spliced them, and they put a bit from this sermon to this sermon, and I'll tell you, that's wrong. And they took a bit from one message and a bit from another message to suit some man's theology. That's not right.
Amen.
You can't do that. William Branham said, do not isolate scripture. He said, you must tie the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it must dovetail. Here a little, there a little, so is the word of God. And Spurgeon said the same thing. He said, true doctrine runs right through the Bible.
Amen.
And this doctrine, the night of the blood, runs through the Bible. It overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It runs through the Bible. It's true doctrine. So when a man stands up and says we don't need the doctrine of the blood, you know he's a false prophet. God never sent that man. That's a Norse spirit. That's an apostate. And he's antichrist. Because anything that's against this word of God is anti-word. And if it's anti-word, it's antichrist. How many knows that's the Bible? Isn't that the truth? And this is the hour we're living in. We're living in the day of deception. For all would be deceived except even the elect, if it were possible. And I tell you, that's the hour we're living in, and it must be according to the word of God. Amen. How many believes that tonight?
Amen.
Who was the first true believer after the fall? Abel. Abel was a real believer. After the fall, Abel was a believer. Praise God. And he never built an altar after man's devices like Cain. Cain built an altar of his own thinking. Cain did what he thought looked good. He presented to God what he thought looked good, but God never accepted it. Now the Bible says Cain offered well, but God didn't accept something because it was well. Someone can sound good, and we have so many sayings around the message churches today that sound good, but are the scripture. Cain's stuff sounded good. Look how lovely it is. Look how well it's presented. But God rejected it. But he received Abel's. And Abel's was absolutely simple. And some things are things so simple that people say there's nothing to it, and they miss it. Remember the message the prophet preached, God hidden in simplicity. God hidden in simplicity. Simplicity. And Jesus said, except we come like little children, we can't come. Abel offered the right sacrifice, blood. God required blood. Now when you follow that, and you know that after Adam and Eve fell, God had to kill an animal because he made them close. How many knows that? And perhaps maybe Abel coming down from Adam was taught that. But either way, he knew it by revelation from God that it had to be blood. There had to be someone to cover his sin. But Cain didn't come that way. Cain presented a lovely religion. Isn't there so many preachers in the world today preaching love? And when they're asked the question, so many top men around the world, when they're asked the question, can you come to Jesus without coming? Can you come to God and have eternal life without through Jesus? And they hibbity-ha and twiddle about it and fiddle around it. And I tell you now, they're false then. That's a straightforward answer for any preacher. There's only one way to God. That's through God's provided way. And God has only one provided way. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's only provided way. There's no other way. And God's word's the way. Amen. Now you know what it says in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground. The blood of the voice. The blood of the voice, and God heard it. God hears the voice of the blood. Now let me tell you tonight, ain't that something? People preach that the blood dries up, the blood can change, the blood's gone, the blood's finished. But yet, Abel's blood spoke to God. Not only did Abel's blood speak to God, but God heard it. Not only did God hear it, there was a response to the blood. Amen. The blood, the voice of the blood brings a response from God. And then the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:24, I think it is, how much more speaks the blood of Jesus of better things? Because it's a new covenant, meaning grace. For sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And if Abel's blood speaks, how much more does the blood of Jesus speak? Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks for you and me tonight. And we overcome the devil because of that blood.
Amen.
How? Because when we say, Lord, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, he cleans us, and the devil hasn't one hold on us. You hear me tonight? And the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we overcome the devil. We overcome the devil. Even when we do things we shouldn't do, Brother Branham said, the blood lays there for you. It lays there for you. How many, I know I've mentioned it, I'm going to mention it again, because you can't mention these things too often. You know, when William Branham went into that restaurant, there was a woman, she was showing the top part of her body, you know what I'm talking about. She wasn't dressed too well, showing her flesh off, and he condemned her. And as he started to condemn her, the Holy Spirit convicted him. Now this is his own testimony. And he says that God showed him a vision. And he showed him the vision of his own sins. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he said it was like a bumper in a car. And the blood of Jesus Christ saved William Branham. And he said that same blood can save this woman. Even though she's living like that. And God showed him she's a backslider. She was saved at one point, but she backslid. And he said he took his hat off right there in that restaurant. And he cried. And he spoke to that woman. And he led her back to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? But you think of it, he condemned her. And I tell you, many times we look at things and we would condemn it in the natural. And we could say it's wrong. But God still loves that person. God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And I tell you, even as a Christian, the devil wants to condemn you. And he wants to condemn you in your mind. And he wants to condemn you so much that you don't feel adequate to pray. You don't feel adequate to take communion. You don't feel adequate to come to church. You don't feel adequate for anything. And he'll get you so low that you're almost, you don't know where you are. That's the devil. But the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And when the enemy starts to give you a hard time, you need to plead the merit to the blood. The blood's speaking for you. The blood of Jesus represents you and me. Christ shed his blood. He never spilled it. And the Bible calls it the precious blood of Jesus. And that blood was shed for us. So that if we do have a shortcoming, we can go back to God. And we can say, Lord, I feel the full short. Wash me in the blood. And if you're sincere, God will do it. Didn't Jesus give the example in the Bible? How often will we forgive a brother? And he said 7 times 70 in one day. Amen. Now we're not promoting that we do wrong. But I'm telling you, the devil wants God's people condemned. This is a battlefield of the mind. He wants you to feel inadequate. He wants you to feel you're not good enough. This is how it works. I could never do it. No, but the Bible says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we can do it. Amen. Cain killed Abel. And the devil's wanting to kill your testimony, just like he did Abel. The accusation of the devil. He wants to kill your testimony. He wants you to be so confused, you don't know where you are, you don't know where it's the voice of God and where it's the voice of the devil. Well, I'll tell you, the voice of God is always going to bear record to this word. And when God speaks to you, it's never isolated. Now, what I mean by that is, the Bible clearly says that God will confirm His word by the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's how God does it. And God will speak to you and you'll know it's God. There's no mistaking. I remember reading a story, Wiggles were told about two young ladies and they thought God had spoke to them. And they got on a train and they were going somewhere on a train and they were following the voice of God. It was actually the devil. And they got on a train and they ended their way up when the wrong place and everything. And Wigglesworth came upon them and God delivered them. But the devil led them the wrong road. They listened to the wrong voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. God won't tell you to do stupid things now. Now, God can tell you to do strange things. We know that. But not something stupid. That's the devil. You don't even need to pray about that. That's the enemy. And God confirmed you. If it's really God, God will confirm it. Revelation 10, look what it says. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of the testimony. The blood of Christ is the only thing to stop or overcome the accusations of the devil. That's the only thing that will do it. Now I want you to look at the weapons God gave us. The blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. That's the two weapons God gave us. This is simple, but it's true. It's so true. And it just doesn't mean, well, I got saved years ago and that's my testimony. It's more than that. It's keeping the word of God. It's keeping the faith. God wants you to keep the faith every day. He doesn't want you just to say, well, I got saved 20 years ago. That's my testimony. No, it's not. That's just a part of it. That's where you started. But your testimony is still ongoing. How many know that? That your testimony is ongoing. We're still saved today. We'll be saved tomorrow. It's ongoing. We're keeping the faith. Not only are we keeping the faith, but we're fighting for the faith. Doesn't the Bible say, earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered, we're to contend for it. Because there's a lot of things today wants to knock down the real faith. A percent of false faith. But we want to have the real faith, and the real faith is based on Jesus Christ. Not on our church, not on any other man, but real faith is based on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. That's real faith. That's who it's based on. That's the foundation. Amen. Anything else will fail. You see the enemy, how he tempted Jesus. And he tempted Jesus in three ways. Now the devil tempts Jesus, he's going to tempt me and you. Because the Bible says, if this be done in a green tree, what will be done in a dry tree? And if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more they call the servants? So the enemy's going to tempt us. But thank God, the word of God says you'll not be tempted above what you can stand. And God can be tempted with no man. The scripture says that. The devil tempted Jesus, but Jesus never failed. And the Bible says God can't be tempted. In other words, He's above it. It can affect God. That's why we need to be hidden in the Lord. Amen. If you read Matthew chapter 4 verse 2 right down, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but you see, when you read Matthew chapter 4 verse 2 to 10, you read of the temptation of Jesus where He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was at His physical weakest point. Now the Lord done that for a reason. He took all His physical strength away, if you want, so the enemy could meet Him at His weakest, and He still beat Him. And I want to tell you tonight, I'm going to read it in a moment, but Jesus used no gift
Now he could have. How many knows he could have? He could have used any of the gifts. He could have spoke the word and polished them. He could have done a lot of things. But he never did it. He just spoke the word. It's written. Because the Lord was leaving something for me and you to use. And that's the word of God. And the word of God is a powerful weapon, because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents to the marrow of the bone. That's God's word. Knows the secrets of the hearts. He tempted him in the realm of the flesh. He said he make these stones bread. Because he knew he was hungry. Now Jesus could have made them stones to bread. Because this is the same Lord. The same Lord that said, if you don't worship me, these stones will worship me. Now if God could make the stones have a voice and worship him, God could have turned stones to bread. The Lord could have. But the devil tempted him. And you know Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So he tempted him in the realm of the flesh. And here's another temptation. He tempted him in the realm of the world. Fall down and worship me, and these kingdoms are yours. Jesus never argued with him. Jesus never said, no, they're not yours, devil. They're actually mine. He never argued with them. Now you know that Satan's a squatter. And I told you the other week, Jesus has the title deed. It's actually his, but the devil thinks he owns it. But the Lord never argued with him. And you know Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world, but it's greater than this world. Amen. Tempted him in the realm of the world. And I tell you, many times you see things out there, what, you know, there's people that do things, and it looks good, and they look to be prospering. And many times you think, well, maybe we're not, you know, individuals, maybe you think you should be doing better and all that. And the devil can tempt you with that. But the Bible says we're to be satisfied with what we have. Be content with such things as you have. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It makes no difference. It's no benefit. And he tempted him as the devil. Let me read you this. So he tempted him in these three ways. The devil, he is a tempter like. And he tempted him as the devil and said, fall down and worship me. Now Jesus quoted him Deuteronomy. That's what the Lord quoted him. He quoted him Deuteronomy 6 verse 13. That here, O Israel, you'll only worship the Lord, nobody else. Satan wanted Jesus to worship him. He says, turn the stones to bread, because he knew he's hungry. He says, all these kingdoms will give you, and then the next thing is, worship me. That's how the devil starts out. Gets a foot in the door, and then he comes in more. We're going to worship the Lord. Amen. Let me read you this here. The principles of divine healing. The word of God will defeat the devil any place, anywhere, any time, on any occasion. When Jesus was here on earth, the Father was in him. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We believe that. All the fine qualities was of the Father was in him. But when he met Satan, look how he did. He brought it in to your reach. Yours, yes, yours. He never used his great gift. When Satan come in and said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. He taken him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, it's written, he took him up on the high mountains, showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give them all to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it's written. Every time he said, it's written. You know the best man I ever heard preaching this, I'm going to tell you who it was. Shambach. And he's a very easy of a man. I can see him preaching it right now. I can see him preaching it. I know that sounds crazy, but he had the wee waistcoat on. He hadn't the big coat. He had the waistcoat and the wee belly was out a bit here. It was right stout wee one, but he could have preached. And the meeting was going well and he's warmed up and he took this scripture. And he says, when the devil said all these things, these temptations, he says, Jesus threw the sword. And he went, ow! And he done all the noises like he was stabbing him. And he said, Jesus put the sword in him and he twisted it, pulled it back out. It's written. X-ray and he stabbed it again. And that's the way Sean Buck did it. He went back and forth across the sword. And this is God's sword. The word of God is a sword. And William Branham, been a prophet of God, said, God has left us something we can use. Amen. Something we can use. The word of God. You say, brother, I don't know how I'm going to overcome. Here. The word. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They kept the faith. They kept the word. And they used the sword. Stab him with it. Stick it in him. Stab him every time. It is written. And Sean Buck went with a sword. And then he says, and if you fall down, worship me. And he went at it a whole load of times like he was stabbing him with the sword of the word of God. Isn't that the truth? God wants you to use his word. Amen. Quote the word when you're praying. Meditate upon the word of God. For it is health to thy navel and strength to thy bones. That's the word of God. Amen. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. You're an overcomer tonight. Don't let the devil tell you for one moment you're not an overcomer. He's a liar. Not only is the devil a liar, but the Bible declares him to be the father of lies. In other words, every lie comes from him. But Jesus Christ is truth.
Amen.
And you can do it. You need to start using the word. You need to speak the word over your home. Speak the word over your children. Speak the word over whoever you're praying for. Speak the word. Say the word of God. By his stripes I'm healed. You want the Holy Spirit? Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Ghost. Speak the word of God. Say the word of God. Quote the word. Remind God of his word. It's good to remind God of his word when you're praying. Lord, your word says. And I believe God likes to be reminded of his word. And God hears and answers prayer. Let's come and seek God tonight. The Lord bless each one.